Really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right, we're ready.
Damn, here we are. Welcome to Detroit in Black and White. I'm Adolph Mungo. Joining me today, Jim Nardone. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Where is Vanessa? Alan Langle from Deadline Detroit. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. All right, here in
Vanessa is.
I'm here in beautiful East Lansing.
Her thing, no question. Listen, you had a reunion up at Michigan State.
Right, it's ongoing.
So what's up? How often do y'all meet?
We met last.
Roommates, right?
What did you say?
Are those your college roommates?
Yeah. The college roommates. We met last year, and then we met 2019, and then we tried again in the pandemic, so we didn't have it for several years. Here we are back in East Lansing,
y'all, my locker partner, y'all excluded him. Now he can't even come because he passed away.
Jerry Moss.
That was my guy. I got good stories on Jerry Moss. He was one of the smartest people that I know when it came to math and stuff. I liked him.
Our house. We had some overachievers in our house. We had Jerry, who was a doctor, Stuart Rosenberg, who was a doctor, Jamie Cohan, who was a lawyer. We had two guys with MBAs, and then there was me, kind of the black sheep of the house.
Don't use that word, black.
Yeah, right. The sheep.
Okay. I'll start with you, Jim. We're going to do, what's your outrage of the week?
Well, let's start with something positive before we start with the outrage.
Right. Why?
Just kidding. May, right? It's graduation time. So
we're at McShane's.
We're at McShane's at the corner of Michigan and Trumbull.
So you can get us on where?
Everywhere. YouTube, Deadline Detroit,
Facebook,
Instagram,
Telegram,
Twitter,
Candygram,
YouTube. But I want to start off with something really positive. It's that time of year. So if you're out there watching us, Let's recognize your graduate. There's graduates from high school. There's graduates from college. There's people getting a PhD. There's people becoming lawyers. Let's recognize those people. I was fortunate enough on May 4th. My nephew, I'll give a little shout out to Andrew Nussbaum. All right. He graduated from the University of Toledo with a Doctor of Pharmacy degree. So these kids are brilliant to me. These science students, right? 97 students, 97 graduates for a Doctor of Pharmacy. And again, Andrew Nussbaum was one of them. 53 female graduates and 44 male graduates.
That's you know what? Yeah, congratulations. I just want to say, though, it looks like such a stressful job these days being a pharmacist. You know, I think like CVS and all these other drugstores, I think their staffing is shrinking. And when you go to pick up a prescription, they look so busy and stressed. And plus, they're giving shots. Like Adolph and I go to the same pharmacy on Woodward there, where the pharmacist is fantastic. He is such a great guy. I had some pink eye and the shot, and they screwed up on the delivery of the eye drops. And he said, "Where do you live?" And he dropped off the eye drops. I mean, that's the kind of pharmacy back in the old days.
So where is your nephew going to go?
He's going to Henry Ford up in Rochester. He's going to start out there.
Okay, good.
The point I bring that up for is because there were people of Middle Eastern descent. There were black people that were pharmacists, and there were white. There were all kinds of people, right? The reason I bring that up is I want to talk about Harrison Butker and my outrage.
Go ahead.
These young ladies at this Catholic school,
Benedict College
in Kansas.
Kansas City, somewhere in Kansas City.
They're graduating with a degree, right? So the furthest thing from their mind should be, I'm going to go home and make babies and take care of my husband. Where did he get this from? All right. This is a poor little rich guy that's signed a $20 million contract. It's easy for his wife to be a homemaker, right? It's not easy for everybody else. My parents, both parents were, a lot of families.
And you know what? And the nuns there were offended that he come there and he pissed on their graduation and stuff. I don't care what he thinks. He plays in a league that's a majority African-American players, and he said he's against diversity. He's against abortion. He's against, he can be against whatever the fuck he want to be against, but yet you profit from it. It's just like Tommy Tupper or Tupperville, who made millions of dollars off the sweat and the hard work of black athletes. Then he get in the Senate and says, you know what? Black folks are not qualified to be officers in the military. They're not qualified to be college presidents, but they qualified to bounce a ball or throw a football. You know what? You can't have it both ways. They pissed off at Colin Kaepernick for kneeling on a national anthem, but they have not said anything about this asshole, and they don't need to kick him out the league because he got some crazy shit. You remember, you're a sports fanatic. You remember San Diego Padres had two pitchers that was members of the John Birch Society. One of them came here, Eric, what's his name, Snow or whatever, pitched for the Tigers. Listen, that's what they think. But they got to deal with the ramifications of their views and stuff. Should they be kicked out?
I don't think they should be kicked out. The reason I bring this up is I'm looking at these young 97 graduates 2 weeks ago, and they're smart kids. Next time you go to the pharmacy, before you're angry, look at the curriculum. You could lock me in a room for 50 years, and I couldn't graduate with that degree.
Now listen, University of Toledo. You know, we can laugh and make jokes about colleges, but anytime you're in these programs, and when I went to school, I knew several folks that went into pharmacy, became pharmacists and stuff. Mm-hmm. Listen, I couldn't do it.
It's the number one program in Ohio, higher rated than than Ohio State University, University of Toledo.
And no question. But so he's going to have to deal with that. We'll see what Kansas City, the ownership of Kansas City do.
Well, they're backing
them. Well, they backing them because Lamar Hunt founded that franchise. The Hunts are well-known white-leaning supremacists back in the day. But that's, you know what, here or there, they made that money in oil and a sports world.
To me, he put these young ladies in second place to start. I don't understand that.
And do your political thing.
I think
someplace else.
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy has some ignorance. He's got some blindness to the society and where it's, you know, we're in the 21st century. I agree that he shouldn't be fired, but you know that the fact that he's getting shit for it maybe raises his awareness a little bit more how out of touch those comments were. I mean, it was just something that you would expect out of the 50s, and he, you know, did it. And you know, I mean, you know, he's just whatever. That's the way he thinks. But there's a lesson learned here that he realizes he's a little out of touch, and it's insulting. It's like people don't. You know, if you don't mingle with a mix of people, you have, you know, you're in an echo chamber. You have, you know, everybody you hang out with has the same political views. You watch whatever. It's whether you watch Fox News or you watch MSNBC. And if you don't get out there and at least read and try to understand what's out there. But, you know, half the population are women and for you to be so denigrating like that is just, it's just ignorance.
But you know what? And this segues into the 70th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. And Joe Biden met with some of the people that filed the lawsuit, that was part of the lawsuit, and they celebrating it. What the fuck is to celebrate that it took 70 years and the school system is still segregated? We still got the majority of African-American students are in districts that are at the level, and no question. And Alan, we went to school together at junior high, right?
Right, correct.
Okay, I remember as a kid when the state had to persuade Oak Park, because all the other school districts in Oakland County around Royal Oak Township, where I grew up at, did not want the black students. We were going to Detroit schools. Old Detroit money. Detroit said, we can't take you anymore. So we had all these black kids. They had nowhere to go. But yet, when they was creating these cities, Berkeley, Ferndale, etc., they helped each other out. They let students from other cities go to their schools. But when they had the township says, oh, no, we don't want them, Oak Park took them. But yet, before we went to Oak Park, we had to, they had a team of doctors come from Henry Ford, and they made sure that we didn't have diseases and all kind of other shit.
Oh, really?
What we had to deal with. Yes.
I think people need to hear that story.
Yeah, well, people need to hear it, and we had to deal with it. And I want to say this. You know, they say the 70th anniversary of Brown versus education. The first person that I met that wasn't from Royal Oak Township was Alan Langle.
And it's been down ever since.
That's been my guy. Listen, Alan was a friendly guy, you know. And I thought everybody looked alike, except he stood out a little different. But this is what we're dealing with. Why are, you know, the president think, okay, we celebrating the 70th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. That's nothing to celebrate, because people still, we dealing with a university that says, okay, it's okay to play football and basketball and run track as a black person, but we don't want you here as a regular student. That's the University of Texas, Alabama, all these people that make all this money off in the backs of black athletes. A bullshit.
But, you know, the other thing is that's really quite disturbing about education, I think, is it's, there's essentially like a war going on against public schools. And, you know, we see the city of Detroit that has lost so many students to other public schools or private schools. And I think to have a solid city, we need to really make sure that we have, you know, a solid education. There are some good schools in Detroit, but there are also some that, you know, that are lacking. And, I think it's criminal the way the public schools are denigrated, and, you know, they try to, you know, create charter schools, which are fine, but, you know, the public school should be still the central, the jewel of the city, and it's
not. But you know what? People are not satisfied with schools, public education, period. You got folks over in Grosse Pointe saying that Grosse Pointe North and Grosse Pointe South, it ain't the same. Well, you go down river and where you had politicians running for office saying, oh, I got to buy this and that, and that school district is one of the richest in the state. Yeah, so
I wish Dr. Mongo was here, and I wish Vanessa were here that could weigh in on a couple of these issues today. I'm just disappointed that they're not here, because I can only imagine what Dr. Mongo thinks about Harrison, Archie Bunker Butker, I guess. The bigotry is still there, so.
Well, it's you know, society has to, some of these people need to be educated a little bit more. And they are. I mean, when you hear a guy make a speech like that, and it's just so ignorant, out of
touch. He's educated. He knows what he's saying. And you know what? and he want to bite the hand to feed you. But yet, what pisses me off is those same people that run to his defense, and he had a lot of black teammates or ex-teammates say, oh, he's, I don't have no problem with it. But yet they had a problem with Colin Kaepernick for saying, okay, I'm going to sit. I'm not going to do this. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, continue the conversation with Alan Langle, Jim Nardone. We had Mick Shanes on Michigan and Trumbull.
Without Project Clean Slate, there is no telling where I would be right now.
It gave him back his life, because once he got the felony, it seemed like life was over.
Being unemployed, being depressed, being a burden, Project Clean Slate helped wipe those things away. I can't say thank you enough. I am now able to work for a reputable.
Hi, I'm Eric Sabria, your Wayne County Treasurer. If you're living in the home of a deceased family member and you're facing property tax foreclosure, the probate process can be helpful to you. If you file a probate petition and notify our office, the foreclosure proceedings will be halted during the probate process. Contact us at 313-224-5990 or email us at taxinfo@waynecounty.com. We're here to help.
Yeah, okay, we're back. Adolph Mungo, Alan Langle, Jim Nardone. Alan, the old Southwest General Hospital in Corktown is going to turn into a soccer field. What do you think of that?
Frankly, I think it's a good thing. I mean, I've been to the field in, you know, Kenworth Stadium over in Hamtramck. I think it's great. But, you know, those stands are packed. They could use a bigger stadium, and I'm going to assume, I mean, they're selling out, I think, 7,500 people a game. They could probably double that stadium at least, or make it even larger. And so kids in the city can play at as well. But I think it's great. I know it's going to be, you know, there are bars in Hamtramck that are soccer bars, and I've been to them before games. And they're packed, and they're packed after the games. And I think they're going to be the losers.
They're already crying, saying, oh, why are we doing that? It brings nothing to the Corktown area. I think what it brings is to get rid of that eyesore that's down on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's going to bring business to the bars. There's going to be, you know, possibly McShane's and some of the other bars are going to become the soccer bars before and after the game. I mean, people
aren't it's a like, soccer bar now, Mick Shanes.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Many times, and Langle had several minor heart attacks because these people, but I don't get it. Like, listen, I really don't get it. Soccer is the most boring sport. They call it football or whatever they call it. I don't know how people get excited for the shit.
It's slow, but I'll tell you this, that, you know, once you watch it and you learn the rules and stuff like that, I've gone to some games with some friends, and the more you know the rules, it's like baseball. If you watch baseball or football or basketball and you don't really know the rules, you don't know who the players are. I think once you get to know the stars, it's like once you get to know all the Tigers, it's a more interesting game.
You can't know all the Tigers anymore.
Right.
I used to love baseball. I could name you. Oh,
Baez.
Because they want to get rid of his ass. Yeah. But other than that, I can't even name
them. But the Lions, look, people know Jared Goff, St. Brown, some of the personalities. You know, they know Dan Campbell. They know the
Do you know any of the Pistons?
No.
Do you know any of the Red Wings? I used to know all these
the Red Wings a few
and but losers. They're losers.
The basketball was my favorite sport. The NBA did such a great job of marketing. I'll tell you, when I'd go overseas back in the 90s, people were wearing like Chicago Bulls hats. People were staying up in Europe and in the Middle East. They were staying up at 3-4 in the morning because they're 7 hours ahead watching games. I think that's all gone, but the NFL is making inroads into Europe and other parts of the world. their marketing is, I think NFL is the sport now to really market out there.
Okay. Well,
is there anybody out there today? Nobody's talking to us today. Did Vanessa's crew stay home today? Or are they not?
You know, if they don't want to talk, they don't have to talk. They can watch. But anyway, let's go to Adam Olier.
Adam Olier.
Did he fuck up?
I said early when we were down in Trenton a couple of weeks ago, I'm disappointed that he's no longer a candidate in this race, because whether he won or lost, he's an option that should have been available to the people of the district. Is it 13th district?
13.
Number 13. Yeah, it's unfortunate there's not I don't get it. You know, I understand the forgeries there are in the signatures, and it's incumbent upon the candidates, particularly veteran candidates, to scrutinize those as they're coming in, to say, let me check on some of these. Let me do a sampling. Let me see what's going on. And we, you know, they screw it up. So, you know, here it is, Sharif Anadar. I don't think Mary Waters can beat him, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think Mary Waters can beat him.
You think she can?
Okay. Again, she can beat him if those folks that have the money get behind her and give her some money. But Mary Waters has an albatross around her neck.
Hello to Delana.
His name is Sam Riddle. And people don't like Sam Riddle. They don't like Sam Riddle.
What's their relationship?
Relationship, they got a personal relationship. Had him put in jail. There's a love relationship. There's no question. So they're not going anywhere.
So they still have those.
But I like Mary Waters. Mary Waters is smart and et cetera. But you know what? A tree can't take her for granted.
What happened to the watches?
Well, she wore one. That's right. And she got a felon. She's a felon.
Convicted felon. Both of them got a watch, but they didn't even get
the... Was she convicted of felony or was it a misdemeanor?
They was dealing with the late Bill Lattimore, nicest guy in the world, councilman out of Southfield. And they didn't even have to do some of that shit that they did, but they did.
Everybody deserves a second chance.
I want to bring up...
She got elected as city council. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, you can't overlook her support. That's no question about it.
That's strong support.
Yes. Yeah.
I've got a little quick video to play here. Curious.
What choice will you make?
Yeah, I'm not announcing that here and now. I'm not going to be voting for President Trump. I made that clear. I know for some people, character is not the number one issue. It is for me. When someone has been, determined by a jury to have committed sexual assault, that's not someone who I want my kids and grandkids to see as president. Let me tell you, I mean, you may disagree with this, but had I been President Biden, when the Justice Department brought out indictments, I would have immediately pardoned him. I'd have pardoned President Trump. Why? Well, because it makes me, President Biden, the big guy, and the person I pardoned, the little guy.
Mitt Romney, I mean, look, the guy sitting in the Senate, he's one of the few senators who actually sort of stand up to Trump and sort of, but sometimes, I mean, first of all, the idea of pardoning Trump, I mean, earlier during that interview, he says, I would have got a hold of the prosecutor, state prosecutor in New York. He says, like LBJ would have done, and told him, don't you dare touch that case or I'm going to run somebody against you. And then he says, I would have pardoned. I mean, talk about, you know, obstruction of justice, of meddling with the justice system. And as he thinks, you know, white privileged people shouldn't really be subject to the laws of the land. Why should they be prosecuted? They're privileged. And let's let them go. It's like if we saw militias, you know, in Michigan who had plotted to overturn the election in the way that Trump, they'd be each serving 30 years right now without question. And here it's like, the guy was trying to overthrow the election. So what? Let's let him go. You know, bygones be bygones.
Well, he did. Been brainwashed like his dad. He's a big pussy. He's full of shit.
Thanks, Terry, for weighing in on this Adam Ollier race today. I know you have strong opinions, and keep letting us know what your opinions are. We appreciate it. What about the debate? I was going to suggest that they had a debate maybe a senior home.
I'm going to tell you where Biden unfucked up. He's supposed to have the debate over at Virginia State University.
Virginia,
is a historical black college. And the Democrats say they didn't want it there. You know, he just, who's advising Grandpa?
You know what?
Who's advising Grandpa?
Yeah, there's questions here. I want to just play this real quick. It's a 14-second clip.
And if at all possible, we probably shouldn't air it internationally. I feel like other countries are going to watch this and say, they have 330 million people, right? I don't know. It's just weird that it's those two.
You see the campaigns, how they're run. We saw Hillary Clinton's campaign. She turned down interview on WJR, which, you know, she did not campaign much. She came to Wayne State. I covered that rally back in 2016, like it was probably October. It was Wayne State University students. It's like, you don't need to go to fucking Wayne State University and give a speech. You need to go into the, you know, into the city, to the churches or whatever. I see, you know, you see Kamala was in maybe a week ago or so, but they need to not, I mean, there's riches here in the city.
Are you drinking buddies with her?
With who, Kamala?
Calling her Kamala.
Yeah. Well, I do know.
She's vice president to you.
Yes. Well, I call him Joe, and he's our president.
Well, I think Rich.
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. But I don't know. You wonder sometimes what their strategies are. It's like
they don't have it.
If the choice to me, you want to go to like a Republican enclave somewhere, like in Western Michigan or whatever, or you want to go to Detroit and work on getting people excited enough to come out. You know, it's going to be an interesting race because the Libertarians in 2016, Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, got, I think, at least 150,000 votes. Jill Stein got 50,000 votes. And Hillary lost only by 10,704 votes. If they work on Detroit, and maybe one of the things is people were kind of like, yeah, it doesn't matter, Hillary's going to win anyways. I think people now know.
No, they didn't. Not that people that I talked to. Listen,
no.
I happen to be at a conference, and there was some folks talking about the Hillary campaign, and they was complaining why she lost. And I'm like, that's bullshit. You know, y'all given a narrative. Hillary did not reach out to the people that she needed to reach out. Yeah. If Hillary, and I'm not blowing smoke up my own butt, that if she'd have hired me, I could have got her 10,000 votes on the east side or the west side or whatever side.
If well, you know,
to Detroit, she would have got what she needed to do, but. Yeah. She did not. All she did was go to some preachers who didn't do a damn thing. So she lost. She lost Michigan. And the Democrats going to lose Michigan if they sit on their ass like they sitting on their ass. Coming to the NAACP dinner is not going to do it for Joe Biden.
Well, that was the point I was going to make. Isn't Richmond the right place for the Democrats to hold a debate? Richmond or Charlotte or Saginaw or
You got to do something. Louis, I don't know.
Why did they turn down Rich?
Well, look, you know what? Debbie Dingell had called Hillary's campaign and said, you need to get your ass out here. I'm seeing Trump signs everywhere. And I'll tell you, my father, way back, this was in 2016. I used to take my father for lunch every week. And we were out in Wall Lake driving down Maple Road. And it was it was 3 weeks before the election. It was lined with Trump signs. And I was like, wow, something's happening here. And, you know, the Democrats didn't recognize what was happening. They were just like, yeah, Trump's a nut.
They recognize it, Alan. They recognize it. They just don't do shit. We're going to take a break, come back, and continue this conversation.
Without Project Clean Slate, there is no telling where I would be right now.
It gave him back his life, because once he got the felony, it seemed like life was over.
Being unemployed, being depressed, being a burden, Project Clean Slate helped wipe those things away. I can't say thank you enough. I am now able to work for a reputable airline. Detroit had my back, all because I live in Detroit.
Hi, I'm Eric Sabria, your Wayne County Treasurer. If you're living in the home of a deceased family member and you're facing property tax foreclosure, the probate process can be helpful to you. If you file a probate petition and notify our office, the foreclosure proceedings will be halted during the probate process. Contact us at 313-224-5990 or email us at taxinfo@waynecounty.com. We're here to help.
Hey, we're back, Detroit in Black and White. You can see us on Facebook,
YouTube,
Instagram. We're all over the place. Deadline Detroit. We got Alan Langle. He's up in that little sleepy town of East Lansing. I'm telling where you at, man. I spent 13 years there one night.
Well, Adolph, you know, remind the story of when Adolph had just graduated University of Michigan. He started his high school magazine called Champions, and he called me up, and I was a senior at Michigan State, and he said, hey, there's a guy I need you to write a story on. He goes, his name's Irvin Johnson. He says, but they call him Magic. And he goes, this guy's going to be big. And I never heard of him. I mean, you know, I don't follow high school sports. And I went to meet Irvin Johnson in Lansing. He pulled up in a brown deuce and a quarter at a Shell gas station. I met him there, and then we went to one of his mentors and did the interview, and he was the nicest guy. He was just such a gentleman, just really a good guy, and I think he's remained really a good guy.
And that story is still out there if anybody wants to see it.
There's no question that somebody, Greg Miles, we had Greg Miles on the show. He the one that said, this guy is going to be great. Okay.
Yeah.
So I missed out on another great guy. Somebody called me and said, can you write a story on this boxer? You know what? He's going to be a champion and stuff. I'm like, nah. Nah, I don't have time. You know who the boxer was? Tommy Hearns. It's like, you know, you never know. You never know. But anyway, he wrote the first major article on Irvin Magic Johnson, Alan Langle.
I left Michigan State right before he started. And I was like, wow. I started seeing him play at State. And I'm like, wow, this guy's pretty good. And then he's at the Lakers after I think 2 years, and I was like, holy shit, this guy is just skyrocketing. And what a fun player to watch in the NBA, just the way he passed and shot and moved around the court. It was like him, the Bird, and Michael Jordan were really the triple crown of the NBA, which was really such a great marketing thing for the NBA and so good for the sport, and it was upward from there for a long time.
You remember Phil Hubbard from U of M?
Yeah.
Phil Hubbard lived in a dorm when I was there, All-American, 7 feet tall, et cetera. Now, I'm covering the Pistons. I'm doing some work for the Michigan Chronicle, and so I go out to the Palace. He playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I go in the locker room. He's there, Clyde Drexler. They was having a little great time. They beat the Pistons, et cetera. Anyway, but then I told a story about Phil to them, and he kicked me out of the locker room. He said, man, I don't need to hear this shit.
And I just won my $25 back. I paid $25 at the Allen Park Civic Arena to see Sugar Ray Leonard knock out Thomas Hearns in the 14th round.
Oh, wow.
82.
That must have been great.
I was 20 years old or whatever, so that $25 I could use today.
Well, I paid my last $15 to see Ali and George Foreman at Chrysler Arena. Well, you know, everybody thought George Foreman was going to kill Ali, and Ali, you know, he won.
Was that the Philippines or was that the Zaire?
That was the Zaire, you know. So, yeah, we think of all the stuff that we see.
Hey, Jim, I posted something for you up there.
Send $25. Don't do that.
That was a lot of money in 1981. Right?
We're gonna get it back for you.
Go ahead.
I'm good.
Okay, that's fine. So here we are coming up. Detroit, what is that? They don't call it a techno fest anymore.
Movement. The movement. The movement festival.
What kind of movement?
Yeah, right. That's a good question. No, it's great. I mean, there are people who come from, the electronic music isn't exact. I mean, I don't dislike it, but it's not my favorite.
It just boom, ba boom, ba boom, boom. But the young lady we had on a couple weeks ago, Hot Wax. Yeah, you know what? I tell you, people listen to it. They like it. Yeah. When I first heard house music and stuff, that shit drove me crazy.
She puts a little historical perspective into her music. She's doing more than just playing music. She's sending a message out there.
So we're going to have that coming. We got the Grand Prix coming. What do you think of the Grand Prix?
You know, I think any event like that, I think, is great for the city. I'm never into the Grand Prix. I just don't. I'm not a race car person, but I think it's great because there are people who love race car driving, and it's a major event. It's a national event. It's televised on TV. So I think anytime we see big events, like the NFL draft was like a big, big plus for the city of Detroit in terms of image. I think that, you know, it's okay. I mean, way back, you know, when they first started, maybe you go to some parties or whatever, but I don't really have any great interest in it.
So did the Lions underpay or overpay for Jared Goff is the question of the day. I'm on the team that says they should have paid a little more for him.
Oh, I think he's paid enough. You know, we were talking about it yesterday about his salary, and it's great. Look, these guys, you know, the NFL has so much money. They're so wealthy. They can afford to pay the players. Unfortunately, the sport is no longer for the average person to go to a game. It's so expensive to go to. And some of that is obviously, you know, some of that helps cover some of these, you know, outrageous salaries. But I think it's, you know, look, he's getting paid what other quarterbacks in the league are getting paid. The thing is, you know, in Detroit, we're working class. We're all about the grit. And the question is it harder to relate to a quarterback who's making $50 million a year?
And he never won shit.
Yeah, well, he had a pretty good
season. He never won nothing.
He had a good season, although I'll tell you, when Stafford came,
I had a good season too, and I haven't won nothing. Yeah. They haven't given me the $30 million,
$40 million. You don't have the character of Jared Goff.
But I want to be like Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth got paid $80,000 in 1933. And they said, you make it more than the president. He said, I had a better year than the president.
Yeah.
It wasn't an Al Kaline that said when they gave him $100,000 that he tried to get some of it back? Or what's that story? He thought that he was overpaid?
Yeah. So and you know what Willie Horton told me? Now, I know Willie Horton. Willie Horton said that Norm Cash wanted to kick Al Kaline's ass. Said Al Kaline, when they first offered him $100,000, he wouldn't take it.
Right, he turned it down.
He said, I don't deserve it. He said, you know, it's trickle-down effect. If he doesn't get a raise, nobody else gets a raise. So if Al Kaline can turn down $100,000, do you think Norm Cass can get a raise? Because most of the ball players at that time, during the offseason, some of them worked at the Ford factory. Some of them had other part-time jobs and stuff. And so they wanted, he said Norm Cash wanted to kill Al Kaline. That's the question. He said Norm Cash was like, this guy not taking a raise, that means we don't get a raise.
I think we should get Willie Horton on here someday on our show.
Yeah, Willie, a daughter, one of his daughters, she passed away, unfortunately, worked for me, at the city. A hell of a writer. Yeah. Willie, great guy, was head of PAL, et cetera. And when Dennis Archer became mayor, he fired Willie Horton.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah, because Dennis Archer just was an asshole.
Yeah.
As the mayor, he was a fucking asshole.
You know, it's funny. We don't have a lot of really superheroes in this town. Willie Horton is one of them. You know who could have been was Jimmy McClane, but the guy fucked up every turn of the way. I mean, here was a guy who was a 31-game winner, and he had Detroit, you know, eating out of his palm, and then he got convicted in some drug thing down in Florida. They, after 2 years, I think they overturned the case, and I think he just pleaded guilty to the charges. And he was on probation. He used to come to the courthouse, federal courthouse, when I worked there, and he'd have to report to his probation officer. And all the guards would have baseball cards and baseballs, and he was beloved. And then, again, he screwed up, and he bought Pete Packing there with another guy up in near Saginaw, and he looted the pension fund. You can't
The people that sold the shit to him, they should have known better. He was a con artist.
They didn't. You can't touch a pension fund without the permission of the Labor Department.
Pick up a rattlesnake and you nurse it back to health, and then they bite your ass. You only have yourself to blame.
Right, right. And so I think now his whole thing is memorabilia. He goes to little.
He's gonna have a big funeral when he dies. Somebody's gonna make some money on him.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we ran in Deadline Detroit a while ago. A Secret Service agent wrote a book, and one of the chapters was on Denny McClane. And he said what Denny had been doing is he got into the cart. Remember back in the day when you had those phone cards where a lot of people, like from India, we were living here, would buy a phone card. So it was like a dollar for the first minute and then 10 cents after. So Denny was able to get on a computer and disconnect people, so then they had to come back on and pay the dollar for that first minute again. He was always, you know, just trying to.
Didn't the mob break his feet, whatever they did?
Yeah. They stomped on it. Yeah, and Denny, when he got out of prison, he had a show on WXYT, which was making about $250,000. He had the show on Eli Zaret, which was another $150,000. So he wasn't making baseball money, but he was making about $400,000, which for most of us is a pretty nice salary. And he just had to get, you know, he liked the action. He bought an airplane with the pension fund. He did all this crap going on there, and people thought he was saving the company. And then, boy, he was hated. He was demonized in that community.
Well, anyway, we're going to continue our conversation here in Detroit in Black and White. Jim Nardone, Alan Langle, Vanessa. You know she's running for 36th District Court Judge. If she was here, I'm Vanessa Moss, and I'm running for 36th District Court. She'll be back next week. Let's take a break.
I want to clarify. I was kidding about being underpaid. So.
Hey, we're going to take a break.
We're going to take a break.
Without Project Clean Slate, there is no telling where I would be right now.
It gave him back his life, because once he got the felony, it seemed like life was over.
Being unemployed, being depressed, being a burden, Project Clean Slate helped wipe those things away. I can't say thank you enough. I am now able to work for a reputable airline. Detroit had my back, all because I live in Detroit.
Hi, I'm Eric Sabria, your Wayne County Treasurer. If you're living in the home of a deceased family member and you're facing property tax foreclosure, the probate process can be helpful to you. If you file a probate petition and notify our office, the foreclosure proceedings will be halted during the probate process. Contact us at 313-224-5990 or email us at taxinfo@waynecounty.com. We're here to help.
Okay, before we talk about some other things, is Jared Goff overpaid or underpaid?
He's not underpaid. No, he's not. He is. Anybody that's playing in the NFL is likely overpaid. I was kind of just kidding a little bit. $165 million, that's generational wealth. Brad Holmes, I was reading an article, a couple articles about the Green Bay Packers talking about, and the fans in Green Bay are saying, oh, they're overpaying Jared Goff. There's too much money. Brad Holmes is the smartest guy in the NFL. Now they're forcing Green Bay to overpay Jordan Love. So this is a smart move.
Hey, no question.
Well, Jordan Love's a great quarterback, but also, you know, I was going to say, I think Jared Goff is a really solid quarterback. He's not the best in the league, but he's very, very good, and he has a great team. So you don't have to be great. But
if you're going to pay, pay.
When Matt Stafford and the Rams came for that playoff game, I have to say that I thought Stafford really shined as a quarterback, and I think you saw a difference in that. That Matt Stafford is still better than.
I was having a problem with my hearing for a second there. It's coming back. Maybe I got plugged for a second.
And Lango got Georgia on his mind.
The problem with Stafford is, Matthew Stafford is and was and always will be about Matthew Stafford. And Jared Goff.
Why do you say that? What? Wait a minute. I have to contest that. First of all, Stafford was here for a long, long time through a lot of losing teams, hung in there. And him and his wife have donated a lot of money to this community. There's different things.
Listen,
there.
But he got privileged. When Barry Sanders wanted out of Detroit, they could have let him out and go to some place where he could have won. They didn't let him go. With Calvin, what's his name?
Johnson.
Calvin Johnson wanted out. They didn't let him go, but they let Matt Stafford go.
Well, we have a different management. We have a different, better management than before. And maybe if they, you know, when players say they want to go, I mean, you don't really want a player who's really so dissatisfied. And it's toxic for a team when you have and particularly the leader of a team who's saying, you know, the Lions suck, I want out of here. It's to bring somebody who really wants to be here, which Jared Goff.
Did the Red Wings let? Marcel.
There you go, Matt Stafford.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't they let him go? Didn't they let what's his name? What's the other hockey player that was good? Duck Soup.
Yeah,
they let him go. If you got somebody that's good and they've been losing forever, and you can get them out of here. Get them out.
Well, now Matt Stafford is complaining that he doesn't make enough money. I'll just give you exhibit number one. A guy by the name of Ndamukong Suh, who was a great defensive player, maybe the best defensive player, one of the best defensive players ever played for Detroit. Well, nobody can understand why Ndamukong Suh was trying to take off the head of Matthew Stafford. That's because back when Ndamukong Suh was trying to extend, they went to Matthew Stafford and said, hey, can we cut up your contract a little different so we can hold on to this defensive superstar? You know what Matthew Stafford said?
No.
And that's Jared Goff is the leader that Detroit needed, and Brad Holmes knew that.
Ain't no question. And while we're still talking about sports, you know what? Glenn Baby Davis, NBA, is serving some time, 4 or 5 years in jail for embezzlement of money, medical bills, fake shit. Well, why Brett Favre's not in jail?
That's a great question.
He stole millions from the state of Mississippi, one of the poorest states in America. And this fucker is walking around nothing happened.
Because he's a good old boy from Mississippi.
Ain't no question about it. And Glenn Baby Davis is a boy from the hood. And so he getting 5 years. Brett Favre is getting,
still talking about it.
Yes, that's about it.
Well, you know, Terry here says Matt Stafford was here for 13 years and didn't win one playoff game. Jared Goff in his second year to the Lions to the NFC Championship games. I'll say they had very different teams. I mean, look, the Lions suddenly had one of the best offensive lines in the league. Stafford used to get killed all the time because they didn't have a strong offensive line.
He didn't have any weapons, right? He didn't have the best receiver in the history of the game.
Listen, Ernie Banks paid 20 years with the Chicago Cubs and didn't win shit.
He didn't have Golden Tate out there catching the football. Right. But he didn't have anybody.
But it is what it is. You don't win. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But Max Stafford is an asshole because they could have kept Ndamukong and Sue. And now he went on and he won a Super Bowl.
Two.
They got rid of Lomas Brown. Yeah. He went on and won a Super
Ziggy
Bowl.
Ziggy Ansah was a good player here. They had a lot of good players.
And I know Jerry Ball, and we're going to get him on the show one time and let him talk about what the Lions did or didn't do. You know, he said it was just some. He said management was.
They have leadership, real problem
in the office and on the field.
They got right now. They have Brad Holmes, one of the best GM in the league. They've got Dan Campbell, one of the top coaches in the league. They've got an amazing team.
Lango, what did you drink last night, man? What did you have in Lansing, man? Lango,
you name it, I had it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. And tell your boys and tell Mike Katz. I remember when he lost the game for us.
I'll tell him.
But anyway, man, you know, Detroit Sports, Stephen A. Smith from ESPN said it was the Lions that revitalized Detroit. Bullshit. You know,
yeah, it's sad when you hear somebody else. It's sad when you have somebody in such a prominent position who says stupid things like that without really people just that's the problem right now with all these commentators. They just talk out of the top of their heads. They don't speak fact-based in a lot of instances. And, you know, particularly when it comes to Detroit, people have all these ideas of what Detroit is, what Detroit was, who's impacting Detroit. And they don't have any idea. They don't read about it. They don't know people in Detroit. Maybe they know one person or whatever. But and I guess even if Timothy sees the world through sports, so maybe that's his only vantage point. But
you know what? It's been some exciting times in the city. Here we are. You know, if Detroit was in Texas, there wouldn't be Trenton, Malvindale, East Course, River Rouge, because they would have just. You ever been to Houston?
I have not been to Houston. You go to Houston,
and you can go to different parts of Houston, and you can tell that used to be a city because it has its own.
Harris County?
Yeah. You know, the downtown is not a great downtown in Houston. Go to L.A. Is the L.A. downtown a hell of a downtown?
Not really. I was there in December. L.A.
Detroit, and I said, "Damn, Detroit, not bad. It's not
Dan Gilbert repopulated the working force downtown. I mean, there were when you were working downtown, it was empty. Now you see a lot of. He brought in thousands of workers down there. I was in L.A. I took the rail from Santa Monica to L.A. back in December, and you know, it's an okay downtown.
They got a big $1 billion building sitting there empty.
It's not, but I'll tell you, LA, it's not Chicago downtown. It's not, you know,
Chicago is about to lose their third, you know, place as population to Houston, you know. You know what? Down south, they undone it different. And they still doing the same thing. They disenfranchising people from voting. They running folks out of the state. They doing their thing. Here, we just exist.
Are we gaining residents or is that propaganda?
You know what? There's more residents with what the census says because people don't like to be counted. But you know what? It is what it is.
Is it being turned around, I guess, is my question. Is it done?
When the school system, when you got a good school system, when you got good retail, when you got places you can buy food from, then I say it's turned around. But when you don't have that, you know, you can give, you know, we look down the street here in Corktown, and they want $4,000 or $5,000 a month for rent. Is that realistic? I can move down here. I don't have any kids, but if I'm married and I got some school age kids, where am I going to send them to school at?
You know what? If the city was smart, they would have some type of control over commercial rents. Like I'll tell you, in Royal Oak, they drove out all the landlords in their greed, drove out some of the they drove out Barnes and Noble. They raised the price so high. They drove out, you know, this little wine shop that was a cool little shop. They drove out a lot of independent business people and they changed the character. And we're going to see that in Corktown with the Ford, with the train station.
Trying to fuck up the Michigan Avenue now. And that's Ford that's doing that. They want to turn it into whatever they want to turn it into. You can only turn here. You can only turn there. Who the fuck is?
Look, the
idea.
The arena, you know, the Little Caesars Arena. I lived right there across the street. I moved right before it opened, but they changed it. So you were driving down Woodward going south. You couldn't make a left-hand turn to where you lived. You had to go around. I mean, all these places are, you know, there's people who design traffic or whatever trying to figure out how to make it the least congested way. But if you're living in that area, it kind of sucks. You know,
it is kind of suck. As we come to an end, I'm coming to you, Jim. Your final thoughts.
Thank you for letting me sit in today and the show for our resident firecracker, Vanessa Moss. I missed her today, and I know her fans are out there. We're trying to hold down the show here for Vanessa while she's away.
Okay, Alan, your final thought.
Final thoughts. I'm looking forward to the debate between the two presidential candidates, just because, you know what, at this point, you just have to look at it as like entertainment. I mean, it's just a shit show. I mean, I can't imagine if somebody said, look, we know who the candidates are. We know what their viewpoints are. It's really America just wants to see a brawl. America loves to see, you know, look, people pay hundreds of, you know, and thousands of dollars to see a fight.
That's like Ali versus Frazier when Ali got Parkinson, Frazier brain dead, and you want to see a brawl. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Grandpa, who I love, Grandpa. Grandpa, I'm done all right. But Grandpa is old. He shouldn't be driving the car. And then we got a maniac who can, oh, man, he put his hands on nuclear weapons. He's going to blow up everybody. But
and you got all the clowns showing up for his trial. They're all... Yeah, they all want to be his vice president, so they're showing loyalty there. I mean, it's disgraceful. I mean, you know, Nikki Haley could, if she were to change her mind, if she came on there, she would help him win. I think. I think if she were to come on there and lost, that would be a major damage to her career. And I think she's calculating that she's not going to go with him.
And my final thought is, thank you, everyone, for watching us.
Shyless 87.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. One day we're going to get Teresa. We're going to put her face on there, most wanted. But anyway, we'll be back next week. Detroit in Black and White, we're on Thursdays. We had Ray Washington on.
We did, right? Thursday.
The sheriff.
Seated sheriff of Wayne County.
Well, no question. And watch us. We had Ramsey in downtown Trenton. We tried to get Alan to come there, but he can't get a visa to get into Trenton.
I'm working on it.
Look at last week's show. It wasn't Detroit in Black and White. Last Saturday, if you're out there watching now and you didn't see it, it was more like Detroit in Black and Blue with the Republicans on here. It was interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Vanessa's, we